Somebody right now in this place that don't know Jesus and a part of their sin. If you're here right now, we're going to ask that you come. You don't know him now. You no communication with him. You don't even know and understand what I'm saying. Come now. He's waiting. We sang a song about whosoever will, let him come. Anybody that want to come and give their life to Christ or be renewed in Christ Jesus.
Through the years.
Come, come. This is your hour. Your opportunity.
I keep on tolling.
People looking at us, a rushing of God in us in order to win their lives to Christ.
It's gonna be all right.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria.
No need to worry.
The gospel is on the radio. At 88.1. Call up somebody. Tell them it's going to be all right. KAYT. Got the gospel. Transmitting all day.
Day by day. Well, now, if you really want it, listen to me, brother. Get down on your knees and pray. Don't you know?
Don't you know?
Don't you know? He's just there waiting to hear from you. Don't you know?
Don't you know?
Don't you know?
Don't you know?
And if you really want deliverance,
so you say you need it.
Don't you know, you can have it today? Now you say you have a little.
Praise God, ladies and gentlemen. We are here today to call on the highest power of the universe to bring peace and prosperity upon his people. The God that we serve is a deliverer and a strong tower. He is a God of stability, a God of substance, a God of authority, and a God who can solve all of our issues. So today, establish your people with deliverance. Deliverance from the unemployment line. Deliverance from food stamps and welfare. Deliverance from the inner city housing and project living. Deliverance from drug addiction. Deliverance from social injustice. Deliverance from drive-by shootings. Deliverance from illiteracy and homelessness. Deliverance from racism and bigotry. Deliverance from hatred and violence. Deliverance from the doom of demonism. Deliverance from sin and seduction. Deliverance from helplessness and despair. Authenticate us with the principles of your power so that we can dwell in your power today.
Have deliverance
right now.
If you think
you can have deliverance,
you can have deliverance.
Oh, right now,
right now.
If you
gotta have it,
oh,
right now,
you can have deliverance.
I am excited to introduce to you Deliverance Today Ministries. Our world is full of trouble, and we have reached a point where it is time to bring to the people of God the truth of God. We are headquartered in Shreveport, Louisiana, and are connected to churches worldwide. Each week, we desire to come into your life with a message of deliverance that will prepare you for heaven. We invite you to join our prayer line and zoom into a closer walk with God every morning from 6 to 7 a.m. Central Standard Time. We have health professionals, spiritual counselors, and Christian aid workers in Louisiana and Texas, and will also extend our resources to help you with social, spiritual, financial, and mental needs wherever you are.
Whatever it is.
We began our walk last week with Jesus and this woman at the well. You see, Jesus did not send us into the world to fight. He sent us to seek and to save those who are lost. Thus, the contention between the disciples of John and his disciples was not a major concern. While people in the church fuss and fight, the leaders of the church ought to be busy about spreading the gospel. The church ought to be a place of peace. The church ought to be a house of prayer. The church ought to be a place where loveliness dwells and where angels come to rest. The church ought to be a place where we come to meet Jesus, for he says, "If I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me." But unfortunately, in the church, there are so many individuals who have got to be top dog. They've got to be on top. They desire to be in control. But there has been no control in the church of God. For in the church of God, we must place ourselves under the control of God. We must place ourselves under the control of Jesus, just as Jesus was under the control of the Father as long as he was on this earth. We miss the boat when we try to push ourselves above somebody else so that we can be seen. Our very religion ought to reveal to us that we should not let it be that self can be only seen, but Christ must be seen. In our church and in our lives, the only solace that we can ever have and ever enjoy will only come until we lift up Jesus. It is only then that peace can prevail. Jesus left Judea on the way to Galilee so that there would be no strife and contention between himself and the followers of John. The word must is so often used in connection with Jesus' mission that it makes an excellent word study. For John chapter 3 and verse 14 says, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up." John chapter 9 and verse 4 says, "I must work the works of him that sent me." John chapter 10 and verse 16, "And other sheep have I, which are not of this fold, and them also I must bring." John chapter 12 and verse 34, "The people answered him, 'We have heard out of the law that Christ abideth forever. And how sayest thou, the Son of Man must be lifted up?'" John chapter 20 and verse 9, "For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead." The necessity of the rendezvous that Jesus was to have with this woman was equal with the lifting up of the serpent, the works of the Father, the bringing of sheep into the kingdom, the lifting up of the Son for our salvation. For you see, Jesus was compelled to go to Samaria by a need to meet a woman at a place where Jacob gave to his favorite son. The pregnant phrase to underline in the incident at Sychar's well, which is so rich in spiritual instruction, is the announcement God gives at the beginning of the chapter, namely, he must needs go through Samaria. So why the necessity? While this was the shortest and most usual road for a traveler going from Galilee to Jerusalem, the Pharisees avoided this customary route and took a longer roundabout one through Perea. They did this in order to avoid any contact with the Samaritans, with whom the Jews had no dealings. While the Jews and the Samaritans were physically alike in many ways, requiring the same food, following the same occupations, having the same hopes and ambitions, and suffering the same diseases, yet there was a racial hatred that kept them apart. The origin of this hostility between these two people may be traced back to the Assyrian colonization of the land of Israel. From this followed the antagonism of the Samaritans to the Jews at the return from captivity, which led to the erection of rival temples on Mount Gerizim. This was in the mind of the woman at the well when she said, "Our fathers worshiped in this mountain." From that time, the spirit of religious bitterness lingered, and this accounts for the Jewish reproach. How pathetic it is for people to hold grudges for years. One person will sit on one side of the church, and because their friends and their homies sit with them, other individuals have to sit on the other side of the church, in the same building, but not talking to one another, in the same building, but not loving one another, in the same building, but not being friends with each other. Don't you realize that this is all the reason why the coronavirus came? To chase us out of the church, playing church in front of people in the streets who know that we're not connected to God. We can talk to our enemies, and we could talk to people who we don't associate with, rather than talking to people who sit in the same building that we sit in. How is it that we call ourselves people of God, connected to God, but we can't talk to individuals in our own church? You can't talk to the preacher. You can't talk to a deacon. You can't talk to one of the ladies of the ladies auxiliary because of something that happened 15 years ago. Oh, how pathetic it is for people to call themselves children of the Most High King, but will hold grudges and hatred and animosity and all kinds of evil just because the devil is on the inside of us, and that devil spirit cannot reside in the church of God. The scripture says that there was such hatred between these Samaritans and Jews that the Jews would travel all around the state just to not talk to the Samaritan. You see, Jesus spoke of a Samaritan, and he allowed his disciples to know that while the Jews had no dealings with the Samaritans, Jesus did. He spoke well of them and healed one of them of leprosy and rebuked two of his disciples for wishing to destroy some of their number with fire from heaven. As the omniscient Lord, he knew all about this woman in Samaria and went there to show and teach that he was above all religious and racial prejudices, and that true worship consisted of worshiping God in both spirit and in truth. Jesus must needs come here to offer this non-Jewish Samaritan woman salvation. Until now, the only offering that people were given was the offering of repentance. Salvation is the substance of living water. And she showed an intriguing interest. However, there were some matters that she had to straighten out. Before she could ever have the living water, there was the matter of sin in her life, her worship of the true God, her understanding of the Messiah and who he was and who he is and of his mission, her laboring for God. Therefore, Jesus began to discuss these subjects with her one by one. You see, it is clear that Christ chose a woman of doubtful reputation from a semi-alien and accursed race to have received some of his greatest teachings. This woman was a jewel in the junkyard. She was not so holy and righteous that her sanctimonious nature was salvation unto herself. Like us, she had a little dirt on her. But salvation is not about how holy you are. It is about how powerful we are when we have been recycled by the purifying factory of Jesus. He takes what is dirty and cleans it up. as she received the gospel, there was no less an ear than John's at hand to record the marvel that people had when Jesus cleans us up. This is the marvel to many of the mysteries of his life. Why, it is sometimes asked, did he not proclaim his sublimest thoughts in the schools or temple courts to people who were considered to be trash? Why did he take time with Nicodemus, this sinful Samaritan woman, and others who people considered to be unholy? The simple fact before us is full justification, and salvation comes to the most vile of sinners who become willing to accept the belief that on Jesus we can all be saved. If Jesus can save this woman with five husbands and she was shacking up, you know there's a place in heaven for us. Thus, necessity brought Jesus to the place where the Samaritan woman lived, and reaching Jacob's well, being wearied because of the long noontide journey, he sat by the well while his disciples went into the city to buy food. The reality of our Lord's fatigue testifies to the reality of his humanity. As the man, he was weary and required food and drink. But as the God, he could tell the woman who met him at the well about all her guilty past and her soul's deepest need. Jesus was often weary in his work, but never weary of his work. As man, he knows all about our human and spiritual needs. And as God, he can meet every one of our needs. So about noon that day, Christ, a Jew, and the God-man met a Samaritan who was a woman whose life was to be transformed as the result of that contact. Twice over, this nameless female is referred to as a woman of Samaria. Prominent in this phrase is her religious and national position. She was not only an alien as far as the Jews were concerned, but was also poor because women of affluence did not draw water in those times. She was not at the nail salon. She stuck her hands in some dishwater. What kind of woman morally was the Samaritan water carrier? She had no money to get her nails done or to get a manicure or pedicure. She was at Walmart, not Saks Fifth Avenue, to draw water from this well. The Samaritan woman differs from many of the other women who came before Christ in his itinerant work. Some of them pressed into the kingdom with their earnest prayers. We think of Anna, who spent her nights and days in fasting and prayers, of the sinful woman of Cana, who washed his feet with her tears, of the widow of Nain, who moved his heart by her silent weeping in her great loss. But for the woman before us, no petition was granted, no miracle was wrought, except her spiritual transformation. Yet, she was a privileged woman in that Christ confessed to her that he was indeed the Messiah, which he did not usually confess even to his disciples, leaving them to discern for themselves the truth of his Godhead from his mighty works and his miracles of mercy. Thus, this woman had an individual prominence in that she was among the number who never sought him, but Jesus sought her. Oh, today, what a joy it is to be looked up by Jesus. Jesus went through the telephone book and he found a name of somebody who needed salvation. Jesus looked into the telephone book so that he can find somebody who needed to know Christ as their personal Savior. Jesus looked her up in the Census Bureau because he wanted to find somebody who knew that the power of God can transform and change a life. Jesus researched this woman so that he can bring her back from the archives of sin and place her in a place of salvation. This woman did not seek Jesus, but he sought to meet her. He did not usually offer his gifts unmasked, but waited until they were sought and demanded. But here, he offered this woman the unspeakable gift of himself. First of all, he asked relief of the woman. Then he offered her relief, not common water to satisfy her thirst, but himself, the well of everlasting life. Oh, today, Jesus wants to give us himself. He wants to open up the gates of heaven and allow all of his children to come in. Jesus wants to place joy in our lives. Jesus wants to take us from the misery and the miasma of sin. He wants to elevate us. He wants to equip us. He wants to ennoble us. He wants to fashion us. He wants to shape us. He wants to purify us. He wants to save us. Oh, today, Jesus wants to save your soul. Jesus wants to give you peace. Jesus wants to give you joy. Jesus is offering salvation. Jesus is desirous for those of us who are lost to find salvation in him. Jesus wants peace for us today. Jesus wants to give us joy. Jesus wants to elevate us and take us from the guttermost to the uttermost. All we've got to do is to be willing to lead to the well, to be led to the well to meet Jesus. We've got to have an open heart. We've got to have peace. We've got to have contentment. And we've got to have a desire to be saved by Jesus. Father in heaven today, please bless your children. May we find salvation in Jesus today.
If you've enjoyed this message by Pastor Jonathan McCautry, please reach out to us. We would love to hear from you. Call at 318-658-6216. Email us at deliverancetodayministries@gmail.com. Write us at P.O. Box 5452, Bossier City, Louisiana, 71171. This is Ruth Ann Thompson at Deliverance Today Ministries, inviting you to join us and become a faithful pledge supporter so we can reach others through this radio ministry.
Before we leave the air today, I'd like to make a special appeal for those of you who believe in the power of prayer. Please join us